You ready to praise the Lord? Waiting on me. That'll work. Well, 7 Wednesdays to sign up for Singspiration, but we can praise the Lord now. Stand if you can. We're going to start off by singing God is Good. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. If you're walking through the valley, there are shadows all around. Do not fear, He will guide you. He will keep you safe and sound. He has promised to never leave you nor forsake you, and His word is true. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. We were sinners, so unworthy. Still for us He chose to die. Filled us with His Holy Spirit. Now we can stand and testify that His love is everlasting, and His mercies, they will never end. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. Though I may not understand all the plans You have for me, my life is in Your hands, and through the eyes of faith I can clearly see that God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. Amen. There is no other name by which men can be saved. There is no other name under heaven. There is rest for my soul, and the wounded made whole, and the captive set free and forgiven. There is no other name by which men can be saved. There is no other name under heaven. There is rest for my soul, and the wounded made whole, and the captive set free and forgiven. Such love as I have. know. I found in the grace that flowed to me, in my unrighteousness, this is why. Which men can be saved. There is no other name under heaven. There is rest for my soul, and the wounded made whole, and the captive set free and forgiven. Such love as I have ever known, I found in the grace that flowed to me, in my unrighteousness, this is why my heart and soul and tongue confess. There is no other name by which men can be saved. There is no other name under heaven. There is rest for my soul, and the wounded made whole, and the captive set free and forgiven. There is no other name by which men can be saved. There is no other name under heaven. There is rest for my soul, and the wounded made whole, and the captive set free and forgiven.
No grace.
to give myself, this is my offering. And I could give you all my prized possessions, all my houses and my lands, everything I hold here in my hands. And there is nothing that I owe, I could lay here at your feet, no greater sacrifice that I could bring. I give you everything I am, surrendering my life into your hands. No greater sacrifice that I could bring than to give myself, this is my offering. This is my offering. Then to give myself, this is my offering.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Omnipotent, and that you can't deny. a God of might and miracles. 'Tis written in the sky. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. Through here his glory has been shown. We still can't fully see the wonders of his might, his throne. 'Twill take eternity. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. The Bible tells us of his power and wisdom all way through. And every little bird and flower are testimonies too. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, anybody got a pick of him this evening? Going once, going twice. Okay. You got one, Tiffany? Which? Just a closer walk with thee. Which page was that? 564. That'll just save me from looking in the index. 564. Just a closer walk with thee.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toil and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When my feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely o'er, to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Amen. Any others? All right, amen. Oh, 406, I don't know. I don't know if I know how to sing 406. Wonderful Words of Life. Yeah, that's a good one. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinner, list to the loving call, wonderful words of life. All so freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Amen. Any others? All right, praise the Lord.
Having a cold for us. Have a cold winter.
I'm thankful, brother, that we got some rain. We got some rain a few days ago.
You got some rain?
Yes, we got a good amount of rain.
Y'all got a good
amount?
Yeah,
we filled up several buckets of rain.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, we did. we were shocked. I came home that evening. I can't remember what evening was.
What evening was that? A few evenings ago.
It was enough wind and rain. It knocked Audrey and Chad's power out. They lived down the street from me.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and...
2/10 in 1 hour. You got a quarter of an inch.
Yeah.
I think maybe that's...
It wasn't even in the weather. Well, it wasn't earlier, but then it laid, you know, like up to that point, it said 50%. But yeah, we got it. Thank you, Lord, for the 50%.
Yeah. Yeah, the what night was that?
I think it was Sunday.
Was it Sunday evening?
It was Sunday evening, yes.
Yeah. Amen. It was Sunday evening. Yeah, praise the Lord for the rain.
I want to praise that I got a good house and everything's been going pretty smoothly with that. So.
All right. Got a house. Amen. What else?
Praise the Lord. Awanas will be starting next Wednesday. Kids have been calling Miss Loopy, wanting to know if we were starting today. They're ready to come. And
they're chomping at the bit.
And thank Miss Loopy. She's already got the schedule made out and sent out word to whatever it is, the home thing, to let other kids know that we'll be here. And I think we got lots of help, or some help, but we can always use more.
Amen.
And then I get a phone call last Sunday. They go, Brother Ron, where's everybody at? She says, I got here early and nobody's here at the church.
On
Sunday night.
Oh. Well, let me give you the heads up. We ain't having it this Sunday night either. It's Memorial. It's Labor Day weekend. Yeah. You had too many hamburgers, man. You had that cheese on the brain. It was good, though. Weren't the hamburgers good? Yeah. Amen. That's all right. Amen, amen. Very good. All right. One, it starts next Wednesday. That's great praise. What else? Anything else praise-wise? Anything else? Anything on the line? Online? No praises? All right. Prayer requests?
Pray for a guy that was working for us for a week and a half. Came down from Arkansas. And today he came in and says he's going back home.
Huh.
Too
hot?
I think he didn't plan good enough. He was struggling. Not enough money, and he just found a job, and so he was already way behind.
Oh, yeah.
And then he said his mom was in a real bad car accident.
Oh, wow, yeah. So what's the guy's name?
That was the final straw.
Yeah, what was his name? Or what's his
Shaquille.
Name? Shaquille. Say it what?
Shaquille.
Shaquille.
That's all I know. Yeah.
Shaquille heading back to Arkansas. Saw Miss Vicki this morning. She's probably going to be in the hospital another day. Maybe she goes home tomorrow. She's been there since Sunday. She's still not had anything to eat. So she's really, they're pumping those antibiotics in her intravenously and everything. But her, you know, her spirits are pretty good. But I think a lot of it's stress-induced. I think she realizes that. Stress and anxiety. So just pray for her. But we had a good visit, and she had her daughter, two daughters there. They're taking tag team and one spending the night, then the next night the other one spending the night. So she got 24-hour round-the-clock care.
So amen. Is she at Tomball?
She Tomball HCA, okay. Yeah. 404. Everybody knows her first name? You know Miss Vicki's first name? Because when you go there and you want to get her, you got to have the first name. Do y'all know it?
I thought it was Vicki. No.
Come on now.
It's a man's name.
No.
Her sister.
No. Her sister. All right, I'm gonna give it to you. Don't forget it. You okay. Go up there because they did it to me. I gave them Vicki Coons, and the lady said, well, I have a Coons, but... First name's not lining out. I said, listen, I've been her pastor for 10 years. I'm just trying to go see one of my church members. She goes, well, sir, you understand HIPAA. And I go, I'll take care of it. So I get Sharon on the phone. And, of course, she's already up there. And she gives me the room number. And I said, by the way, what's your mama's first name? She said her first name is Minnie.
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 That's right.
Minnie Coons. You didn't know that. I didn't know that either. I go, I know her as Vicki. I've been calling her Vicki for 10 years. Yeah. But I'm telling you, these hospitals in HIPAA, man, they'll throw you under the bus. You got to be careful with that stuff. All right. So, Miss Vicki, 404. So you get off the elevators, you go in, you take the right elevators, you get off the elevators, first hall to the right. So right elevators, come in, right elevators, go up, first hall to the right, 404. You go in the morning, you may catch her. She may probably be released tomorrow afternoon. The cocoons, diver, she got that diver. Bad. Bad. I mean, bad. So, all right, what else? Yes, Tiffany. No, Tiffany, you got a mic up. Oh. It's got Jupiter's contracture? You got the Jupiters, huh? Yeah. Oh, no. All right, having a seizure and hand issues. Harold, right? Harold? Yeah. All right. Okay, Tiffany, we got it. Somebody else? Prayer need? Yes, ma'am. Mic her up.
If we could lift up Chrissy Stamball and her family, Kelsey Coffer and her family, Stormy Wiseman and her family.
Okay, Kelsey.
Coffer, C-O-F-E-R.
Okay, and then the third one?
Stormy Wiseman.
What's going on?
And Jackie and Chris, just lifting them up for salvation and that the Lord will keep them coming to church because they've been faithful these last few weeks and just want to keep it going. They want to be part of Awanus, but we're trying to figure out the ride situation. And so that would be my next prayer, that the Lord would provide a vehicle that we could be able to pick some of these kids up.
You're going
to... They're coming to church, but the kids want to come to Awanus, and Kelsey's son is a football player, and he brought one of his football player friends to game night, and he probably would invite a lot of football players.
Yeah.
But we just need a way to get him here. So pray that it would work out. Kelsey, you know, she runs all those imaging centers, so she's not, her schedule is up in the air. She may can bring him sometimes, but sometimes she can't.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that the Lord will provide a way for that. And just I should have said this at a praise. I was able to talk to Colin a lot. He's had a lot of interest in the Lord lately.
Yeah.
Lord's putting it on his heart and been able to witness to him some, and Robert as well. And so continue lifting them up in prayer for a surrender or salvation for Robert, salvation for Colin.
Yeah.
Lastly, I promise. Robert, there is a position open at his work. If you remember, we prayed that he'd get his work hours changed. Well, one guy quit, one of the managers, and it's a 7-to-2 position.
Oh, hallelujah.
And he asked for it with the manager, but that manager there is kind of hardballing because Robert comes in and he closes every night. And if Robert moves to 7-to-2, guess who will have to close? That manager.
He ain't getting that 7-2 shift, I'll tell you that.
But God can do it.
Yeah, amen. Because
that guy could left, so it's open. So I'm like, we're going to pray it through, Robert.
Well, maybe they'll split them.
That would be nice. So just that the Lord would keep working in that. And I just want to thank the Lord for this church and for our prayer group here, because God answers these prayers, y'all. I'm just saying.
Amen. Amen.
And then my siblings, the Baker family.
Bakers. All right, Baker kids. What else? All right. Well, we had it's been a tenuous week. I'll be the last prayer request, and then I'll lead us in prayer. It's been a tenuous week, very stressful. I'll back up to May. Last May, my youngest daughter had a psychiatric event, and Lillian, she attempted self-harm, and we had to hospitalize her back in May. And at the end of school, she spent 10 days in inpatient mental hospital in Conroe for kids. And they do kids, adults, they do everybody there. But anyway, then she spent about 9 days in outpatient and, got on some medication. And we thought we were heading in a good direction. And her summer job, the Chick-fil-A closed down here on 2920. So that kind of shot her summer job in the foot. But me and her mother, we've been shuffling, trying to keep up with her because she can't be left alone for a good year when you have that tendency, that itch to want to hurt yourself. So school started back. Long story short, school started back, and we thought we were going to have a better year, but we're having a rough year, and it's just started. So be in prayer for my youngest daughter. We don't know what to do. She doesn't want to go back to school. So, and she wants to be homeschooled, and the therapists are telling us that's the worst thing we could do for her. Let her be alone. So, people, anxiety is a real deal. I've never, she comes by it honest. Anxiety and depression, it runs in my family. So just pray for her. Pray for me and Stephanie. We don't know what to do. Yeah. So. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we?
Well, a couple more if that's okay.
Yeah, send them on, brother.
Okay, one is for Lori's friend Felicia for salvation and kind of just general peace and comfort. And
Lori's friend, name again?
Felicia.
Felicia. She is.
Yeah, she's not getting any sleep.
Salvation.
Yeah, salvation.
She's got insomnia.
Yeah. Or just from other, I guess, events, yeah, causing lack of sleep.
All right.
And then Sharon Highbarger has a couple prayers for Justin. His base is in the path of the hurricane.
Yes.
And then one of my friends, Aaron Scott, he lives, the hurricane's going to hit just north of him as a Category 1 was the forecast. I hadn't got to see how he's doing. But, prayers for their
What's
family.
His name?
Aaron Scott.
Aaron Scott.
Mm-hmm. And then the other one from Sharon was prayers for Kinsey and her recovery and family restoration.
All right, Kinsey. Very good.
And Lori's tooth.
What's going on with that?
Oh, getting it pulled? Yeah, getting it pulled.
Ow!
Yeah.
That ain't no fun. Mm-hmm. Kinsey's family restoration. When's the tooth coming out?
Oh, next week.
Oh, my soul. Bless your heart. All right. All right. Is that all of them? Mm-hmm. Thank you, sir. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening, Lord, and we praise you and thank you for your goodness and your grace. And, Lord, we just come here tonight seeking your face, Lord, and seeking to intercede on behalf of others. And, Lord, before we do, we praise you for the blessing of the changing of the seasons. And, Lord, even though the 100-degree hadn't broke yet, we know it's getting ready to. And, Lord, we know the days are getting a little shorter. And, Lord, oftentimes we miss that sunlight. But, Lord, knowing that it's going to bring cooler temperatures, we're kind of looking forward to it this year. So, Lord, we're thankful for the change. We're thankful for the cool morning. And, Lord, if you don't come back and rapture us this evening, we're looking forward to a cool morning tomorrow morning. So, Lord, we give you praise in advance for the beauty of the day that we're going to get to experience in the morning. Lord, we praise you for Annabelle's surgery and the success of that, Lord. We pray that you heal her body and just bring her back to health and just see her through. So, Lord, we're thankful for that. And then, Lord, we praise you for the incredible rain that some of us experienced on Sunday. Lord, we know that's just a taste. That's just what you got in store for us coming down the pike. And so, Lord, we just continue to pray for the rain, but we praise you for the rain we receive. We know it's an answer to prayer. And so, Lord, we're looking forward to some more of it as the old atmosphere starts to moisten back up, and we perhaps get another little dry line or cool front coming through here, Lord, to set it all off. So we just pray in advance, Lord, we might have some rain and get this thing going again. Lord, we lift up this this house that's been acquired, and we're thankful for that. And, Lord, it's good to be able to hang our hat, to have a place. And so, Lord, we just thank you for new beginnings and new chapters in our lives, Lord. We give you praise for that. And, Lord, we're looking forward to Awana's next Wednesday. We pray that in a special way, and the kids are excited. We love the cycle of it, Lord. They get a good break during the summer, and then, Lord, when school gets going, they get to come back, and it's just a high time. So we're just praying for your word to go forth. We're praying for young hearts to receive Christ. We're praying for a lot of scripture memory, Lord, and just a lot of good glorifying your name as we come together for Awana's next week next door. Lord, as we think about our prayer requests, we lift up Shaquille and him heading back to Arkansas. Lord, we pray for his safety. We pray you might provide him a living and a job, Lord, when he gets back there, and just be with his mother and all that he's trying to take care of and all the details that's surrounding his situation. We lift up Miss Vicki Coons to you tonight, and we're praying for her health. We're praying that these doctors get her treated, Lord, and that you might touch her body and bring healing to her, and just, Lord, allow her to perhaps get out of the hospital tomorrow with health on her side and making some great gains in her physical improvement. We lift up Tiffany, and we lift up Tiffany's grandfather to you tonight. We lift up Harold, and we're praying for this seizure that he's had and these hand issues that's going on with him. Lord, we pray you watch over Harold and just keep him safe. And, Lord, we pray that you just help him listen and do what's being asked of him, Lord, and try to just be a good patient. So, Lord, we're lifting Harold up to you tonight. We're lifting up these families to you, Lord, the Standball family and the Kofer family and the Wiseman family and Jackie and Chris. We're praying for these four different family units, Lord, that you would continue to draw them to your side. And, Lord, you would bring salvation their way. And, Lord, those within the family that don't know you, you would bring them to a saving knowledge of who you are. And those that are needing to get back and get right, Lord, you would help them repent and turn and come back. And, Lord, we just pray you'd do a great work in these families that are visiting with us, Lord. You'd really make a great impact. Use our church to help them bring glory and honor to God. And then, Lord, we continue to pray for Colin's salvation. We're thankful for this update about his spiritual wanting to know, his spiritual inquiring, Lord, and for Lupe sharing with him the gospel truth. And, Lord, we pray that would spill over to Robert. And, Lord, you would prick Robert's heart and put those desires and those thoughts in his mind as well. And, Lord, we just pray that salvation might come to this house and do a mighty work and save these two men for your glory and for your honor. Thank you, Lord, that you still save. Thank you that we can pray for salvations tonight. We lift up Robert's schedule to you, Lord, and we pray you might get that adjusted so he has a little quality of life and is able to do some things in the afternoon with his wife. And so, Lord, we're praying for this shift. Maybe this shift would come around 7 to 2. We lift it up to you, Lord. We just pray your way and just pray you might honor our prayers tonight on his behalf. Lord, we lift up the Baker siblings. And, Lord, we pray for those that are out of church that you might draw them back into church and get them set back on the path of righteousness, Lord. Help them. Direct them. Lord, we just pray you put that crossroad in their life where they need to make that decision. We lift up Lillian to you tonight, Lord. We're praying for her mental health. And we're praying for the physicians that she's going to be seeing here again in the next couple weeks. And, Lord, we're praying for her psych eval, and we're praying for everything that's coming for her. We pray, Lord, that you help her make good decisions, not bad decisions. Lord, I pray that you help me and her mother, and, Lord, help us direct her and be good stewards of her, Lord, and just help us help her somehow, some way. But, Lord, we pray that you might give her a breakthrough. Lord, we know this is a process, not an overnight deal, but we pray you would use Wood's Edge, Lord, where she's going. You would use other Christians that she knows to just help her have a breakthrough somehow, some way, and come back to where she once was. So, Lord, we lift her up to you tonight. We lift up Lori's a friend, Felicia. We're praying for her salvation. We're praying for her insomnia. Lord, we just pray you help that young lady and you save her. We lift up Sharon's son, Justin, Lord, and we're praying for his safety. And as he's in the path of this hurricane now, bearing down on his base. And so, Lord, we ask him for safety for our military and those that are in harm's way. Watch over them, Lord. Protect them. Help them. We're praying for Aaron Scott tonight in the path of the hurricane as well. And, Lord, we pray you watch over him, protect him. And then, Lord, we're lifting up Kenzie and her family. We're praying for the restoration of that. Lord, we pray and you might touch that situation, bring healing there. And then, Lord, those that have unspoken requests, Lord, I pray that they would voice those silently and privately to you at this point. And, Lord, we're thankful that you hear us. And, Lord, we're thankful that you know where we're struggling and how we're suffering. And so, Lord, we just lay these things down. And we pray, Lord, that you help us, give us the grace to carry them another day. Give us the grace to lay them down another day. Lord, just help us in the midst of what we're struggling with. And then, Lord, we pray for those that are struggling with addiction, that you would help them break free. Lord, that you would help them rise above, that you would help them get out of the pit of that bondage and get above it. Lord, we pray for them. We've got several names that we list here each and every service. And so, Lord, you know who they are. And so, Lord, we just lay them down before you. We lift up Ronnie Holman to you tonight, Lord, and we're praying for his health and his healing from cancer. We pray you touch his body. And then, Lord, Ronnie Vaculik, we pray you touch his body, Lord, and bring healing to him, Lord, with all the different health issues and struggles that he faces. We lift up Brother John to you tonight, Lord, as he pushes his body to the limit as he serves you, Lord. Watch his helping. Touch his back and bring healing to his shoulders. And, Lord, just help him keep on keeping on in the fight and serving you. And so, Lord, we're thankful for your word tonight. As we spend a little time in it, we pray you speak to us and help us as we discuss this topic of holiness. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said. All right, well, let's take a few moments here to look at what we have. And remember, we're keying off, and, you know, the guys come in. We've got a little peanut gallery back there every Wednesday and Sunday night. And the guys come in, and they're primed, boy. They're ready for me to talk about the tattooing. And I'm not there to the tattooing yet, right? I'm just not there. So we're still talking about holiness. But I could mention quite a few that have tattoos that are serving the Lord and praising his name and carrying the banner of Christ. So don't let those tattoos scare you off too much. Amen. You know, some of our mistakes that we've made, we don't wear, right? And some people have just made some poor decisions and they're wearing them. And some people are very proud about their tattoos. I think it's a beautiful form of artwork. I wouldn't want it on my body, but I'm just saying. People that do that are artisans, people that apply those tattoos. You may have some conviction on it that it's wrong and whatever. Well, that's fine. Well, preacher, it says it. Well, it's in the Old Testament, I understand, and I don't know if that really applies to New Testament saints. And I'm sure there's a whole bunch of opinions on that, and we don't have time for those right now. So let's talk about holiness. Amen? So we're in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 2. It says, "Speak to all the congregation of the sons of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am what? Holy." And then we covered this verse, or we talked about it. You shall not, 19:18, "You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Now, where we ended it last time was talking about some perversions of holiness. And we said, don't be deceived when we talk about this holiness. If there's anybody that would want us to be deceived about what holiness is, it's none other than the demonic. It's none other than Satan. And so Satan would really love for church folks, for people who claim to be Christ-filled and Christ-centered, to be kind of askew on what holiness means. And so The scriptures, along with the history of the church, have recorded a number of these incidents where holiness has been distorted, where it's been skewed off and messed up. And so we kind of ended last time we were talking about this, talking about some of those things. We said, consider the following misconceptions and distortions of holiness. The first one we called was that stained glass holiness, right? The stained glass holiness is the view that restricts holiness to the realm of the ceremonial. And I'm telling you, not 10 minutes after the service, we discussed this, had a church member come in. He was telling me about a friend who really gets into the ceremonial things of the church, of another flavor of denomination, but they don't really have that righteousness in their life. I mean, my soul, it's like out of the mouths of babes. There it was, exactly what we talked about. Stained glass holiness is the Sunday go-to-meeting holiness, right? That's what it is. And then we said very close to that, or you could put a slash and then say that right next to stained glass holiness, is this ceremonial holiness that thinks of holiness only in terms of special days or of holy places and special holy activities. We talked about the, or you guys mentioned it, I didn't really have it in my notes, but it was the, what did you call it? The CEO. The Christmas and Easter only. That's the crowd. Right. But notice that the Christmas and Easter crowd, they need grace just like us. Amen? And they need the Lord just like us. And so love them when they're here. You may only have 2 days to love on them, but love them when they're here. Amen? We said this stained glass and this ceremonial holiness, it tends to divorce righteousness in everyday living from religious activities and ceremonies. And really, that's what a lot of people want, man. They want to scratch that religious itch that they have. We cannot help it. We've been created in the image of God. We've been created with a God-shaped vacuum. And even when we're lost as a ball in high weeds, we know that there's something outside of us and above us, in control of us, even though we hadn't quite put our finger on it. And every now and then we want to get in the kumbaya mode, right? And get a little, have a little experiential thing going on about it. And so a lot of churches capitalize on that, draw people in, roll the smoke off the stage, flash the lights, bring in they do all that to help people get that, scratch that itch. Kind of like a heroin addict, right? But they never get the righteousness connected to their lives. Do you see the issue, the problem? Yes? So this error of misconstruing, this error of having misconceptions on holiness, this error has been going on for a very long time. You trace it all the way back in the Bible, all the way back in the Old Testament, all the way back to the people of Israel, right? And we dealt with this as we were closing it out. We talked about this occurred early in the history of Israel, these misconceptions, this separation of holiness and righteousness from the life, focusing on the ceremonial, not focusing on the living of it, right? We talked about the history of Israel and how it has persisted through the centuries. And we talked about how the prophets of Israel have spoken against it. We shared that passage of Scripture with you in the book of Amos, chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, and then 21 through 24. As we transition on for a little bit tonight, we want to talk about another example of misconceptualizing what holiness means, and that is the scribes and Pharisees of Jesus' day, how they fell into the same error as these people in Israel back when the prophets spoke out against them. Online folks, good to have you tonight. By the way, haven't mentioned you. How you doing? Hope you're doing okay. All right. Now, these scribes and Pharisees, they were meticulous about ceremonial holiness, and yet they did not love their neighbors. They did not love their neighbors. They did not preserve justice, and they did not protect the widows and orphans. Yet, they had an appearance of ceremonial righteousness, but they lacked practical holiness. And Jesus said to them in Matthew 23:14, He said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you devour widows' houses, even while for a pretense you make long prayers." Right? "Therefore you shall receive, greater condemnation." Now, a classic illustration of the hypocrisy of the scribes and Pharisees can be seen in the events surrounding the cross of Jesus Christ. The scribes and Pharisees rejected the very Holy One of Israel as one who was unholy, deserving of death. They instigated His death and pressured the Roman authorities to crucify Him, and yet they were meticulous to preserve holiness in the ceremonial details. The Word of God reads in John's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 31. "The Jews, therefore, because it was the day of preparation, so that the bodies should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away." John 19, 31. "It is little wonder that our Lord said to the people concerning the holiness of these ceremonial saints." This is what He said, Matthew 5:20, Sermon on the Mount. He says, "Unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven." What's the point? Well, the application is simply this. We as well need to be aware of this false holiness, which is meticulous about religious rituals, public prayers, teaching worship, but does little or nothing in the realm of a practical demonstration of loving our neighbors. Does that make sense? So what we've said, what are some perversions of holiness? What we've said, consider the following misconceptions and distortions of holiness, stained glass holiness. We also refer to ceremonial holiness. But let's take up another topic, and that's positional holiness. That's a misconception there, positional holiness. Positional holiness is that holiness which is supposed to accompany a certain office or position. For example, the Jews of Jesus' day would have assumed that a priest, and especially the high priest, was holy. And today, some people assume that because a person is a pastor or a deacon, or a missionary, or a Sunday school teacher, or a priest, he or she, depending on your denominational flavor, he or she is holy. And this is not necessarily the case at all. You can look in the history of the Southern Baptists and find that there's a long list of pastors that should have been on a no hire list, never got on that no hire list. They were pedophiles and rapists and child molesters. You can look in the Catholic Church. You can go Protestant. You can go Catholic. Same deal, man. Same deal. In fact, we should be reminded that such positions in the church are strategic targets for Satan's agents. The Word of God reads in 2 Corinthians 11:12-15, it says, "But what I am doing, I will continue to do, that I may cut off opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the matter about which they are boasting. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their deeds." See, the scribes and the Pharisees did not even recognize the Holy One of Israel, but rather rejected and crucified Him. They assumed, though, that they had to be holy. They had to be holy because of their positions. Well, holy, they were not. Does that make sense? We get a look into the psyche of these scribes and these Pharisees, and what is obvious is that positions of power and prestige were utmost in the minds of these unholy men. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples. In contradiction to them, he said this in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 23, verses 1 through 7. It says, "The scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. Therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe." Why? Because they're reading from the Old Testament, right? But it was what he says. "But do not do according to their deeds, for they say things and do not do them. And they tie up heavy loads and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger. But they do all their deeds to be noticed by men, for they broaden their phylacteries and lengthen their tassels of their garments, and they love the place of honor at banquets and the chief seats in the synagogues and respectful greetings in the marketplaces and being called by men rabbi." In spite of the fact that these men held positions of power and honor, they did not do the things which the law spoke. So, preacher, what is the application? What is the aha moment? What are we trying to get out of this? Well, Jesus, he affirmed the teaching of Leviticus. That's what he's doing. Jesus affirmed the teaching of Leviticus that the practice of holiness, listen to me, church, the practice of holiness involves loving one's neighbor and doing what the law commanded. When it comes into the New Testament. Yes, yes? The scribes and Pharisees sat in the chair of Moses, but they did not do the deeds of the law. They were not holy. And so the disciples of our Lord fell into a trap of equating position and office with piety or holiness. I'll give you a few examples. I think this is one of the reasons why they were so concerned with who would be the greatest in the kingdom, right? Greatest of the kingdom, Mark 9:33-35, because they equated position with holiness. Falling prey to positional holiness also helps us explain why the mother of James and John, Matthew 20, verses 20 and 21, she wanted her sons what? She wanted her sons to sit on where? To sit where? On the right and the left hand of our Lord, right? And so before we began to feel too uppity up, too smug, too righteous here, before we get too high and mighty, what is that contemporary Christianity? What's going on here in our realm? What's going on in our world? Well, a lot of times we think more spiritual of a person, he's in full-time Christian service. Well, man, he's the holiest thing that set foot on the earth. He's in full-time. He's a missionary. Teach Sunday school. No. Anybody can be holy, right? And anybody can be in a position and be unholy. Right? Amen? By both his teaching and his example, Jesus dealt a death blow to this false conception of holiness. He taught his disciples that status was not the goal of the Christian. Listen to me, it's not status. Status is not the goal of the Christian, but rather service. That's the goal. Service. Matthew 20, verse 25 and 27 says, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not so among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave." And so Jesus' own example speaks louder than anything else. His own example speaks louder than anything else. Jesus, who had all the position, Jesus, who had all the status, Jesus, who had all the power, yeah? Amen? He who had all the visible glory of heaven, he set it aside. He came down among us, born in human flesh, so that he could suffer and die to save His creatures, to save His creation, right? And where was this act symbolized most profoundly? Outside of the crucifixion. This act was symbolized most profoundly outside of the crucifixion by washing the disciples' feet. By washing their feet. For John chapter 13. And so, whenever you think something's below you, but you're too good for that, remember Jesus. He washed his what? Disciples' feet. Can you imagine? Old dirty men's feet. Jesus is washing them, right? Tender care and love. Well, the days are getting shorter because it's dark. Let's, 10 seconds. Gets shorter every day by 10 seconds. I thought it was a minute it got shorter. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Do we need to mic you?
Ladies, is it coming through? It's okay.
Check
okay,
one.
So one of the ladies in the Bible study, ladies' Bible study, so she shared a story with us that was absolutely terrifying.
Yeah.
Her husband got a phone call at work, and it was their daughter. She's 30. And she says, "Dad," and she's upset. And she tends to be that, get that, well, you know, you can't talk, she's upset.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
And he's like, "Caitlin, stop that. Tell me what's wrong." So then this man gets on the phone.
Oh, my.
And says, "Hey, your daughter's been in an accident. I've got her in my car."
Oh, my soul.
And he said, "What? You have my daughter in your car?"
Yeah.
All right. So what it came down to was AI.
Oh, my soul.
They captured her voice on the internet somehow.
Yeah.
And he told him, we want money. We want your debit card.
If you want your daughter.
Yeah. And he said, "I don't have a debit card." He's like, "You're lying. You're lying." He said, "I can bring you $5,000 in cash right now."
Yeah.
And he's like, "No." He wanted a debit card.
Oh, my.
So they were freaking out, whatever. They got eyes on their daughter. She was at work.
Yeah.
They got eyes on their daughter. But this is real. And it's a serious threat.
Amen.
And they told him, "We're going to take her across the border. We're, you know, just horrible, horrible things."
Things, yeah.
And it truly was her voice.
Yeah.
So it's unbelievable. And so, okay, so all through that, they got the cops involved and all that. You're not going to be able to trace them. But what they said is to have a code word in your family, even in your, like, brothers and cousins or whatever, because they're going to go after, like, get grandma or whatever.
What's the code?
What's the code? When, if they call and say, "I've got your child," or whoever, what's the code?
Yeah.
And then that'll make it,
if oh, that's real, good. Yeah. Have a code word, man. Amen. I'm thinking of mine, but I'm not gonna say it. I'm thinking. No, it wasn't that. It wasn't that. That's not it. All right. Okay. Scrambles everything up and puts it all back together. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, man. Yeah. Okay. Right. Amen. All right. Well, okay, online folks, that's been our it's been our public service announcement for the night. God bless you. Remember to have a code word in your family so that you're not exploited by AI. All right? Anything else? All right, let's have a closing word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, Lord. Thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for our prayer time tonight. Thank you for the singing tonight. Give us safety as we depart this place. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen.
Hey, guys, can we gather around the pastor's place?
Yes. Amen. And remember, Saturday men's prayer breakfast.